Today's Blatt is Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the last line of the Amud. Tan Rabbanan, Em Chabdin, one person does not have to give kavod, does not have to give honor to another person, like b'drachim, not when traveling on roads, like b'sharim, not when traveling on bridges. When two people meet each other on a road, the lesser chashva person does not have to stop to give the more chashva person the right of way. And the reason is because we don't want to slow down the traffic or impede traffic. However, Taisa says, when two people set out to travel together, then of course the one that's more chashuv should be allowed to go first. So like Bisharim, and the same din applies to when traveling on bridges. When people travel on bridges, because there's danger in traveling on a bridge, you don't have to start honoring one more than the other. Taisa in Masechta Shabbos says that we do find in certain instances that Talmidei Chachamim gave honor to each other in when they were traveling. And here we said that Emes Ad Mitrachim. So Taisus Mishach the Shabbos says that only in a Makom Sakana or somebody who's going for a Dvar Mitzvah, those are the two situations of Emes Chavdin that we don't have to give kavod to somebody traveling. The Sefer Ma'ayin HaBracha says, that's very interesting, in the Kedah that many of us say every morning, it says two times the pasuk Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav, that Avram and Yitzchak went Yachdav together. And he says that it's coming to allude to what Taisa just says. One time it says V'yar Esamachot Merachot, they saw the place from far. And Rashi quotes the Chazal that said that this Satan made himself look like a river, that it should look like it was impossible to get to the Makam HaKedah. So since it was a Makam HaSakana, it's Vayelchu Yachdav, they went together. The other place where it says Yachdav is where it says Hine Eish Ve'etzim, Avram Avinu, the Yitzchak told Avram Avinu, we have the wood and we have the fire, and it says Vayelchu Shnei Yachdav, also Yachdav. Why? Because since they had the wood and the fire, and they were about to do a Dvar Mitzvah of the Akedah, so that's why Yachdav, even though Avram was greater than Yitzchak, Yachdav, they could go together. Continues the Gemara. For Lo Yudayim the Muhammad, another person where one person does not have to give honor to another person is by washing one's hands. For it's not an honor to be told to wash your hands first because your hands are dirty. However, as we learned yesterday, when it comes to Mayim Achronim, the last five people should the first of the last five people washing Mayim Achronim should be the person who's going to bench, to lead the benching, as we explained yesterday. Continue the Gemara. Rav Abaya have caused the Be'orchot. Rav and Abaya were going on the way. Kadmei Chadmin Rav Abaya. So Rav's donkey went ahead of Abaya's donkey. V'loi Amalei, and Rav did not say to Abaya, Leizel Mar, to let your donkey, the master's donkey, Abaya being greater, go first. So Abaya said to himself, once this person, Ravin, came from Yisrael, because Ravin, as Rashi explains, used to go back and forth from Yisrael to Babel and from Babel to Yisrael. So once he came back from Yisrael, Gasle Dati, he's become a Balgaiva, and he doesn't give me the proper Derech Eretz. Himotel Epischo de Beit Knishta. However, when they got to the door of the shul, Amalei, Ravin said to Abaya, Nail Mar, that you Abaya should go in first. Amalei, so Abaya said to him, that hash the lav marana, and until now I was not the master. If you're giving me covered, why don't you give me covered before? Amalei, so Ravin said to Abaya, Hocham Rav Yochan, Eim Chadin al Pesach Shesh B'Mezuzah. We only have to give covered to somebody else by a door which has a mezuzah, and before we were on the road, obviously we didn't have a door to mezuzah. Ask the Gemara, the Isbe Mezuzah in, is the Inyan that you have to give covet only when there is a Mezuzah? The Lesbe Mezuzah lie, but if there is no Mezuzah, you don't have to give covet. Elameata, if we're going to follow that line of reasoning, based on Knesset, based on Midrash, shuls, but the Midrash that do not that are not used for living, and therefore less the mezuzah, there's no chiv to have a mezuzah on them. Hakanam de mechabdim, so we won't have to give cover there because there's no mezuzah. Ala ema, the pshat is the pesach haroyel mezuzah. You have to give cover in any door where there could be a mezuzah theoretically, because it's a real doorway, not like a bridge or on the highway where there is no door at all. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Shmuel Bashelus Mishmei the Rav. Enim Sum Rishonim like a klum. People who are sitting together, eating together, not allowed to eat. Actually, Yitam Rabitzaya. Until the one saying the bracha on the bread, and he's the one that's going to slice the bread, eats first. Taisa says that this halacha only applies that if they're all going to be eating from the same challah, the same bread that this person that's being betzeya on is cutting. However, if everybody has his own roll, his own challah roll or whatever, then everybody could start eating from their own challah as soon as they hear the bracha hamotzi from the mevarech. Yosef Rav Safran Kama. So Rav Safran was sitting and saying this halacha. He said, "Litam itmar." What we learned was that people who are eating together are not allowed to even taste anything until the one cutting the bread tastes first. Asking Rav Lamayin after Mina, what does the difference make whether the statement that Rav was made was you're not allowed to eat or you're not allowed to taste? What's an afkamina? They mean the same thing, that you're not allowed to, you have to wait till he who makes the betzia makes the bracha and eats. And so the Gemara, you're right. The only afkamina is shechayiv adam loyim b'lashon rabbi. Rav Safra wanted to correct the quotation because a person has to say over a halacha that he heard from his rebbe in the precise way he heard it from his rebbe, and that's takad halacha. That if we're all yotze from one person and we don't have our own challahs in front of us, he should eat first. And the same thing goes as far as Lecha Mishnah. If we're relying on the Lecha Mishnah of one person, we should wait till he eats. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that this is specifically that the halacha is that the person breaking the bread should, however, wait until the person breaking the bread should wait till everybody finishes saying Amen. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Mamtinan Zel Zabakara. Two people who are eating from the same platter have to wait for each other. However, Shloisha, the three people eating from the same platter, Amamtinan, they don't have to wait for each other. Because when two people are eating together, and one of them makes an interruption, so it's Terechers, the other one should wait. But if it's ready, three people, so it's ready a bother, and they don't have to wait. Habitzeya continues the Gemara further. The one that makes the brachas hamotzi and he's slicing the bread, he's the first one to put his hands into the platter to get served from the platter. Vimba lachla covered le rabbi or lemishi galamenu. However, if he wants to give covered to his rebbe or to somebody greater than him, that even though he was the balabayis and he did the betziah, he let somebody else take portion first, hashus piyada, he has the right. And that's takad alocha, that if two people are eating from a common platter, if one of them stops eating or drinking, the other one should stop. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that's only if the person who stopped did not stop for an ordinarily long amount of time. If he stopped for a long amount of time or for no good reason, then the other person does not have to sit and eat. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bachana was osikle lebrei beRav Shmuel beRav Ketina. Rabbi Bachana was marrying off a son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel beRav Ketina. He sat down before the chasna meal and taught his son the following braisa. Since the minig was that the chasan by the chasana is going to be the one to cut the challah and make the brachas hamotzi, so he wanted to make sure that the chasan would know what to do. And he taught him, after saying the hamotzi, the one who's breaking the bread is not allowed to break it until the people who are listening say Amen. So the Bryce is teaching us that the Rashi explains that the Amen is considered part of the bracha, and therefore, since you're not supposed to actually slice the bread until the bracha is concluded, so he should wait till the Amen is concluded, and therefore, the halacha is based on this brisa that let's say I walk into a shul, and if I hear people saying Amen, the halacha is that the Amen is considered a continuation of the bracha, and therefore he has to wait. Therefore, he could still say Amen and still considered as if it's still the bracha is being said, because as we learned now, the Amen is considered part of the bracha. He's not allowed to break the bread until the Amen has been said by most of the people are responding. But once the majority has finished saying Amen, that's enough. Amalei Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama said, Maishna Ruba. What's the difference if he has to wait for the majority of the group finish saying Amen? The Katzula Kali Bracha. Because as we just explained, until the Amen is said, the bracha has not been considered concluded. So, if so, miyuta nami, even if a minority has not yet said Amen, lekaya bracha, the bracha has not been considered concluded until they finish also. So, why is it enough just to wait for the majority? Amalei, so Rav Chisda answered, Shani Amen, because I say, Kala Aina, Amen, Yos Midai. Somebody answers Amen longer than necessary, and I will tell you he's only making a mistake. Because, as Tosfos explains, if somebody says the Amen too long, he will not pronounce the Amen correctly. And as we're going to learn soon, it's very important to pronounce the Amen correctly. The Mashal says that what is the mistake? The mistake is that because somebody thinks that because he's going to say the Amen long, he'll live long. And he's making a mistake, because living long or living short and everything is really in Hashem's hands, and Hashem knows what's best for us. Tanu Rabbanan. When somebody says Amen, he should not say an Amen Chatufa. An Amen Chatufa means that instead of saying Amen with a comets under the Aleph, he says with a Shva under the Aleph, like Imein or Imein. V'loy Amen Chatufa, not an abbreviated Amen. That's an Amen where you don't pronounce the Nun. So it just sounds like Amen without the Nun. V'loy Amen Yisoyma. An Amen Yisoyma is where somebody did not hear the entire bracha. He just heard people saying Amen, and based on that, he answers Amen. It's interesting that Rashi asks the question, because Rashi says that the Gemara Masechet Sukkah says that there was a shul in Alexandria in Egypt that was very large, and it was impossible for all the people in the shul to hear the bracha said by the chazan. So they had a system where flags would be waved to signal to the people when it was the time to answer Amen. But this seems to be contradictory to what we just learned in our Braisa, that it says that one that doesn't hear the blessing is not allowed to say Amen. So Rashi answers that although the people in Alexandria did not hear about tefillah, say the bracha, they knew which bracha they were answering to. Our Bryce, on the other hand, which says that you're not going to answer Amen Yisoyma, is talking in a situation where you don't know which Amen, to which bracha you're saying Amen to. And that is the halacha, that if you know which bracha you're saying Amen to, even though if you did not hear the actual bracha, you could still say Amen. However, that is only in a bracha that you're not mechuyif to hear, to be yotzer with. That means I'm listening to a chazar, a shatz, or something like that, and I'm answering Amen. So if I know which bracha the chazan is saying, even though I didn't actually hear him, I could say Amen. But a bracha that somebody is mechuyif, let's say I'm being yotzer with somebody else, a hamaitzi or a birch, a mitzvah, even if I know which bracha he's saying, and even if I heard the beginning of the bracha, but I didn't hear the end of the bracha, I should not answer Amen. continues the Gemara. Ben Azai Aymer. Ben Azai said, Kol Aynan Amen Yisayma. If somebody answers Amen Yisayma, which we just discussed, Yibana Yisayma. Chas V'Shalom, his children, neither Kenegan neither, will be Yisayma. Chatufa, whoever says Amen Chatufa, Yischat Miyomov. His days will be snatched away. He'll unfortunately die young. Ketufa, whoever answers an abbreviated Amen, Yischat Miyomov, his days will be abbreviated. However, the Kol Amarech Amen, somebody is Marech an Amen and says the Amen properly, Marech LaYomov Shneasov. However, as Tosfos explains, that he, as we just learned, you're not supposed to say it longer than it's supposed to be, because you say it too long, you're going to end up not pronouncing it properly. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Rav Yashiv Sudasa. Rav Shmuel was sitting in a meal. Also Rav Shim Bachia. Rav Shim Bachia joined them as they were at the end of the meal. Have a Kamasar V'Ochel. And he hurried up to eat so that he should be able to join in a Zeman. Amalei Rav. So Rav told him, Ma Datach, what are you thinking? What are you trying to accomplish here? Let's Terufi Bahadon. You want to join us in the Zeman. Anah Chilnanon. We already ate, so it's already too late for you to join us in the Zeman. Amalei Shmuel. So Shmuel said to him, Ila Maisle Adila. If they would bring me mushrooms, which Shmuel enjoyed mushrooms very much, the Guzal Abba, or they would bring you, Rav, whose name was Abba, young pigeons, Milay Chlinan, would you not eat them? So since you would still eat them, although we didn't actually finish eating the food that was brought before us, it's not considered that, although we finished eating, it's not considered that we concluded our meal, and therefore if Shimi could join us for the Zeman. However, Tosfos says that as long as they did not say Havel and Nevarech, or they washed my Machronim. If they had said Havel and Nevarech, that they had declared that they're going to say Brich Samozim, or that they had, or on the other hand, if they already wash my Mechronim, that is a clear indication that in their minds the meal is over and they can no longer make a Zeman. Tamid of the Rav have Yasvi with Sudasa. The Tamidim of Rav was sitting in a meal. All Rav Acha came in and joined them. Amri, At Gavu Rav Devarachlan, a great person, also Gavu Rav, a great person, has come to Devarachlan that he's going to say the Brich Samozim. Amru, Nisa Risu. Good God, Mavarach. Do you think that the one, that the most chashuv person, he's the one to say Brich Samozim? Ikei Shemesud Mavarach, the primary member of the meal, should make the Brich Samozim. And since I only came late, I can't be considered the primary person in this meal. However, the Hilchasa, the Halach is God Mavarach, that the most chashuv person in the meal leaves the Brich Samozim. Afgav the Safal Psaif, even though he came at the end. However, Tosfos says, if this most chashuv person gave permission to somebody else that he should make the bracha, certainly he has the right to do that. Ochel de Mai, we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody ate the Mai, he could still join in Zeman. Now the question is, the Mai ask Kolei Chazalei, because as we explained yesterday, if somebody eats something that he's not supposed to eat, something that's not kosher, for example, like tevel, he can't have him join in the Zeman. So the question here is, how could the person who ate the mai, which, as we explained, is produce brought from Amoritz, that we have to take off our own Shumas and Maestris, be allowed to eat, be allowed to be part of the Zeman? He ate something that he wasn't supposed to eat. Answers the Gemara. Kivin the boy maskil and nachse. Since if he wanted, he could declare ownerless all of his property, the have ani, and then he'll be a poor person, the chazalei, and then he will be allowed to eat the mai. The tanan, because we learned in a Mishnah, machilin sanin the mai, we're allowed to feed poor people the mai, the sechsanya the mai. And that's soldiers that used to come from town to town, and the people of the town had the obligation to feed them, you're allowed to give them the mai. And Tosfos, so even though, as the Rishonim explained, here in our story, he did not declare his property ownerless, and he did have money, and he wasn't an ani, and he wasn't allowed to eat the nai, since potentially he has the ability to eat the nai is not something that is also for him to eat. And the reason we will make on the mai is because the mai in the first place is not for sure usher. It's only a shaila if the Ani did not, if the Amorites did not take off the Tumas and Isis, and since it's only Shaila, under necessary circumstances, we are allowed to eat the Mai. Tysus has the question, when we say that we're allowed to give soldiers the Mai, is it only for Jewish soldiers, is it only for non-Jewish soldiers, or even for Jewish soldiers? From Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Beshamai Oimrim, Beshamai disagrees, and he holds, Ein Mechilas Aniyim Besachsanya Demai, we're not allowed to feed the poor people and the soldiers Demai. And Tysus asked the question, what is the point of telling this us this? Don't we always paskin like Beisilo? So Taisa says the reason Rav Huna informs us of Beishamai Shita is that if we'll ever find a Shita in Shas that says that even a poor person or a soldier is not allowed to eat the Mai, we'll know that that is going according to Beishamai. The next case of the Mishnah where you are allowed to join in Zeman was Mais Rishon Shenitl Trumasa. If somebody ate Mais Rishon from which Truma had been taken, ask the Gemara Pshita. It's obvious that he's allowed to join. What did he do wrong? So before we explain the Gemara inside, we have to explain the following. When somebody has produce, the first thing that he has to take off is truma. The truma goes to the kohen. Generally, it's 1/50th has to go to the kohen. So if you have 100 pounds or 100 bushels, you have to give 2 to the kohen. Then, so we start off with 100. The first 2 went to the kohen. We left with 98. 9.8 of that is my serishin, which has to go to the levi. From that 9.8, or we'll use round numbers, from that 10 that went to the levi, he has to go take off 10%, which would be 1 pound or 1 bushel, and give it to the kohen as chumas maisa. That is when the tefuah was processed properly. That the tefuah was completely processed, and then they give the kohen the truma, the levi the maiserishin, and then the levi goes and gives the kohen trumas maiser from the maiserishin that he received. Our case, explains the Gemara, is the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Levi came before the Kohen and took Maaserishin before the grain was completely processed. And the Hefreshman of Trivus Maaser, and he took off the 10% of the Maaser from the Maaser that he took to be Trumas Maaser. However, he did not take Truma Gedoyla. Which means, had everything been done properly, the kohen first would have gotten truma gedoyla and then gotten trumas maaser. Here, the kohen will only get the trumas maaser and not the regular truma that which we call truma gedoyla. And the ruling of our Mishnah goes according to Bavua, Dom Bavua Mirish Lakish, Maaserishin Shegdim B'Shebolim. If a Levi went and took the Maaserishin in the unprocessed grain, put them the truma gedoyla. He doesn't have to give truma gedoyla from it to the kohen. Shnemar, the roisim men trumas Hashem. You should separate from Hashem's truma ma'isim and a ma'iser. 10% of the ma'iser. Explains the brayser. Ma'isim and a ma'iser matilah. I only have to take off the trumas ma'iser, which is 10% of the ma'iser that the lady receives. So like truma gedoyla, trumas ma'iser and a ma'iser. But he doesn't have to take off both the truma gedoyla and the trumas ma'iser. And that's what happened in our Mishnah. Amalei Papa Labaya, so Papa asks Labaya, Ihochi, what would be the halacha if the Levi took the Trumas Maaser from the grain even after the grain was fully processed? A fila dima b'krinami, even if the Levi took it off when it was already processed, do I also say that he only has to give the kohen the Trumas Maaser and not the regular Truma? Amalei, Sabaya said, Alecha Makra, regarding your question, the pasuk says, now we go to Mem Zayin Mabeis, Mikol Maaser Seichem Truma. From all of your Maaser portions, you have to take off all of Hashem's Truma. Both the Maaser, the Truma, and the Trumas Maaser. Ask the Gemara, Marisa, what makes you say that the case we're saying that the Levi only has to give Trumas Maaser and Truma Gedoyla is where he took Maaserishin before the grain was processed, and the case where he has to take both is after? Answers the Gemara, Hai Itgun, In the case where it's completely processed, it's already called dogon, it's already called full-fledged grain, and when you have full-fledged grain, you have the chiv to take both, to give to the kohen both truma gedola and truma smaiser. V'hai lo yitkin, when it's not processed, it's not called dogon, and you don't have the obligation to take off the truma gedola, only truma smaiser. The Rishonim try to understand what's the Gemara's question. Of course, it makes sense that there should be more of a chiv when it's completely processed versus when it's less in the process. So the Rishonim say that perhaps we would say that in a case where a Levi took his portion before the grain was processed, and he should have realized that obviously the Truma Gedola wasn't yet taken because it's not processed, so nobody would take off Truma Gedola, and he went and jumped ahead. That's why we would perhaps penalize him and say, if you did that, you should take off both Truma Gedola and Truma Smaisa. However, in a case where it was properly processed, and the Levi could say, you know why I took the Maiserishin, because I thought already the Truma Gedola was taken, and that's why I didn't do anything wrong, and we won't make him take off Truma Gedola. That's the reason why the Gemara had to tell us, no, here is when it's processed, he has to take off both Truma Gedola and Truma Smaiser, and when it's not processed, he only has to take off Truma Smaiser. The next case we learned in the Mishnah was Maiser Sheni v'Hegdish Shenistu, that if somebody had Maiser Sheni, or he had something that he was Magdish, and he properly redeemed it, that person who eats that produce could join in the zimun. Ask the Gemara Pshita. It's obvious. Why not? Answer the Gemara. Hakam Ma'iskinen. We're talking in a case. Kigan Shnosim as a Karen v'Loi Nosim Tzachaymish. If somebody redeems Ma'iser Sheni or Hegdish, so the difference if it's the person who owned the Ma'iserishin is redeeming it, or another person. If another person is redeeming it, he only has to give the value. If it's the person who was mafreshed himself, he asked to add a chaymish, which is 20-25%. Here we're talking that the person, it was his maiserishin, and he only gave the principal, and he did not give the chaymish. Well, Kamashmon, and our Mishnah is teaching us, the chaymish ain't ma'akif. Dein chaymish ma'akif. That the failure to add that fifth does not invalidate the redemption process, and it's something that you could eat, and obviously join Zimun. Hashem Meshach Kazayis, the Mishnah taught us that if a waiter ate a kezayis worth of bread, he could join the zimun. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, he ate the right amount of bread. If he ate the right amount of bread, why shouldn't he join? Maratayma answers the Gemara, we were thought shamash lekava. Since the waiter doesn't establish himself as a member of the group, he's waiting on them, so I would think that he can't join the group even if he ate a kezayis, kamash malam, that he can. Why? Because since this is the normal way that a waiter eats, so that's not considered not a kviyas. In fact, it may come out that if, let's say, somebody else was eating that way, not a waiter, a guest, he may not be able to join, because he wasn't eating in a normal way, and if he wasn't eating in a normal way, he can't be part of the zimun. The Mishnah continued, Vakutim is Amalov. The Kutim, who we explained, were the nation who lived in Israel and converted, could be part of the zimun. Ask the Gemara, Mai, why should we think that he can't join? Lo yehei al amaretz. Let him be not considered worse than amaretz. The Tanya, and we learn, ask the Gemara, why can he join? Lo yehei al amaretz. It should not be no worse than amaretz. The Tanya, we learned, Eim azam nam amaretz. Talmid chachamim cannot join together in zimun with an amaretz, because what is the point of zimun? The point of zimun is that three people join together to thank Hashem, and it's unfitting for Talmid Chachamim to offer a joint blessing to people who never learned Torah. As we'll see, that's really who Amaretz is. Answers the Gemara, Abaye Amar B'Kuti Chaver. Am is just talking about a Kuti who is a Talmid Chacham. A Chaver is the language, is the term that was used for a person who acted in accordance with Halacha. Rav Amar, Rav says, afil tam v'kuti amaretz. We can be talking here about a kuti amaretz. For Hacha, however, we're talking about the kuti amaretz rabbanon. Somebody's only amaretz according to rabbanon. The pligia leid rameya skinin. There's a machlokes which we see on rameya that we're talking about. The Tanya, there's a brayse that says, eiz amaretz. Who is considered amaretz? Kol shein oichel chula betara. The halacha is that anything, any mitzvahs of tluyos ba'aretz, trumas, maaseris, a person has to be careful to eat when he's in a state of tahara, in a state of purity. However, chulin, which is regular food, does not have to be eaten in such a manner. But Ramea says a person who's not careful to eat even chulin in purity is already considered am ba'aretz. The Chum say that no, and Amara to somebody who doesn't take off the maestris properly. Vahani kuti, asuri maestri kutachazi. The kutim were very careful to take off maestri properly. The maidik siba raisa, anything it says in the Torah, mizazahiri, they're very careful with. Domamar, because as we learned, kom mitzvah shazik by kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim follow, they observe, have a medagdikin by Yosmi, so they're even more careful than we are. So according to the Chachamim, such a person, such a kuti, would not be considered amaretz, and that's why he could be part of the Zimun. Tana Rabbanu, Eiz amaretz. Since we mentioned amaretz, the Gemara asks, what is considered amaretz lahalocha? Says the Gemara, Kol she'ein kara kriya shma arvus v'shachris. Somebody who doesn't say Shema in the morning and the evening, because as we started learning at the beginning of the Masechta, Shema represents the basis of our faith in Hashem, and somebody who doesn't proclaim that is considered Am Ha'aretz. Divrei Rav Elazar. That's Rav Elazar's sheet. Rav Yishua Aimer, Kol She'en Meinav Tefillin. Somebody doesn't put on Tefillin. Benazai Aimer, Kol She'en Leit Tzitzis B'Big Goy. He wears a four-cornered baggage, and he doesn't put on Tzitzis. Rav Nesha Aimer, Kol She'en Mezuzah Tizchai. If he doesn't have a mezuzah on his door, Rav Nesha Meyos Aimer, Kol She'en Shlei Bonim. Somebody has sons, then we got them with Tama Torah, and he doesn't teach them Torah, doesn't send them to yeshiva. Achayim, I feel kar v'shana, even if somebody learned chumash, Torah shvaksav, v'shana he learned mishnayis. However, v'leishimash tamid chachamim, but he did not learn with tamid chachamim, which Rashi explains, meaning learning the Gemara, because without learning the Gemara, one can't understand properly how to be mekayim the mitzvahs. Hareza amaretz. That is considered amaretz. On Rav Huna, Rav Huna says halacha kacherim. That's the halacha that a person, even if he did everything, but he doesn't learn Gemara, is considered amaretz. However, Tosfos says that nowadays it's common practice to join zimun even with amei haaretz also to keep the peace, and not that everybody. If the Amaretz will see that we're not treating them respectfully, who knows what will end up with them. Another reason the Rishonim say why we can join with Amei Aretz nowadays is because the Isser of joining with Amei Aretz in Zimun only applies to Talmid Chacham. But if one is not a Talmid Chacham, he could join with Amei Aretz. Ram v'chama la'azman alei Rav Nashi b'tachlifa. Ram v'chama did not join in Zimun because of Rav Nashi b'tachlifa. The Tani, because Rav Nashi b'tachlifa had learned Sifra v'Safri, which are the brises v'Hilchasa, Kinnok Nashi the Rav v'Chama. So when Rav v'Chama died, Amar Rav said, Kinnok Nashi the Rav v'Chama. Rav v'Chama died, Ela Azma Rav Nashi b'tachlifa, because he did not join in Zeman, because of Nashi b'tachlifa, because he considered him for not treating Rav Nashi, for treating Rav Nashi b'tachlifa as Am Ha'aretz, not as a Talmud Chacham, even though he was really such a big Talmud Chacham, but he considered him not enough of a Talmud Chacham, he was punished to leave the world. But Tanya, Chayim Oimrim, but wasn't he right? Didn't the Chayim say that Phil Karv is Shon of Lashimish Talmud Chacham, even somebody learned, but he didn't learn the Gemara as Am Ha'aretz? And says Gemara, Shayim Nashi b'tachlifa, the Mashmal Rabbonim, because he did in fact learn the Gemara. Rav Bachama, who delayed Dr. Asrei, Rav Bachama did not properly check him out to see if Itaka had learned. But if he had checked him out, he would have seen that he learned Gemara, and he was a person that you could join in Zimun with. Lishnach Rina, another reason, Rav Nashi b'tachlifa, Taka did not learn Gemara. However, the Shomesh Matzim, the Prime of the Rabbanim, he used to listen to the Shiurim of the Rabbanim, the Gurslu, and review them, and therefore, Ketzurim Rabbanim Dami, he has the same status of Talmud Chacham, and that was Ram Bachama's mistake. Ram Bachama thought that he's considered Am Ha'aretz because he actually never learned Gemara. But since he did learn the Shiurim of the Rabbanim, he was not considered Am Ha'aretz, and he was wrong for not joining him in Zimun. We learned in the Mishnah, Ochel tevel or maisa. But if somebody ate tevel or maisa rishon that the trumas maisa was not removed from, he can't join in the zimun. Ask the Gemara, tevel pshita. It's obvious that if somebody eats something which you're not allowed to eat, he can't join in the zimun. And like the Pnei Yeshua explains, after learning the previous Gemara, the Gemara's question is even better. The Gemara said, the Mishnah began that if you ate the mai, or you ate the mai's rishon that Shuma was removed from, you're allowed to join in the Zeman. So it's obvious. Why? And as the Gemara explained, because you were allowed to eat these things, each thing for the reason we explained. So if you ate something that you were not allowed to eat, and there is no hepatite, obviously you're not allowed to join in the Zeman. Why does the Mishnah have to say it explicitly? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Mishnah is teaching us a case, the Tevel Tavim with Rabbanim. Somebody who ate something that's only tevel midrabbonim. So even though it's only midrabbonim tevel, not midraisa, still that person cannot join in the zimun. Hey chidami, what is the example of something that is only tevel midrabbonim? Batzis shalei nokof. Produce was grown in a pot without a hole. So since it has no yanika, it has no nourishment from the ground, there is no chiyuv in taking off shumas and maisis midraisa, it's only midrabbanon, and that's why it's only midrabbanon, and still the Mishnah teaches us such a person cannot join in the zimun. And from here the Chaya Adam takes out that if somebody eats bread that grows from grain that wasn't, that didn't grow directly from the ground, grew from Atzus Shenanokov. But nowadays, the Shaila would be very relevant regarding grain that would be grown hydroponically. The bracha would not be hamoitzi, it's not midaraisa hamoitzi, and a person should only make a mezoinus or a shahakal. However, most Paiskim do say, even though there's a Shaila what the bracha rishayna is, they do all agree that brachas hamozin on such bread is in order. The next case the Mishnah mentioned of somebody who can't join in the Zeman is somebody has ate Maiserishin Shnoim Letu Chumasa, that the Chuma Maiser was not removed from. Answer the Gemara, Pshita, that it's obvious. Answer the Gemara, Lloyd Tzvicha, it's talking in the case, Gyuan Shagdim Bakri, where the Levi took the Maiserishin after the grain was already processed, which we learnt before. At that point, the Levi has to give the Kohen both Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa. And he only gave the Kohen, in our story, the Levi only gave the Kohen the Trumas Maisa, not the Truma. And matter time, remember, we might have thought, like Rapapa asked Abaya previously in the Gemara, that if he only gave the Trumas Maisa in such a case, and not the Truma Gedoyla, it should be enough. So the Mishnah teaches us, like we answered, that no, that if he didn't give both Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa, when the Levi took it after grain was processed, you are eating Tevel, and if you're eating Tevel, you can't join in the Zimun. Maisa Sheni, the next case was Maisa Sheni that wasn't redeemed. So Pshita, obvious, you're not supposed to eat Maisa Sheni that's not redeemed outside of Yerushalayim. And it's Gemara like Tzricha, it's talking about a case, Niftu v'lay Niftu kallah kasan. They were redeemed but not redeemed properly. What does it mean it was not redeemed properly? Maisa Rishon is talking in the case Gran Shepada Gabes Siman. It was redeemed on a piece of metal, an unminted piece of metal, like a slug. Rachmana Amar, in the Torah says, regarding the redemption of Maisa Sheni, the money should be bound up. But we learn, Kesef Shesh Leitzura, money that has an image on it, that it's minted, not just a piece of metal or slug. Or Hegdish, what is the case of Hegdish that wasn't redeemed properly? Shechila Yagaba Karka, that it was redeemed on property, for like part of a kesef, not with money. Rechmana Oma, and the Torah says regarding the redemption of Hegdish, the Nasana Kesef Akamloi, he should give money, not real estate. The next case was that the Shamas ate less than the Kazayas. Asking my Peshitta, if he ate less than the Kazayas, certainly he can't join in the Zeman. Answered the Gemara, I did the Tana Raisha Kazayas. Since at the beginning of the Mishnah, we taught a case of a waiter eating a full Kazayas. So he said in the Sefer, Tana Sefer, Pachas Mekazayas, even, what do you call it, that less than a Kazayas is not considered eating, and therefore he can't join in the Zeman. Next case was a Nochri, a non-Jew, a Mezamenlov, cannot join in the Zeman. Ask the Gemara Pshita, it's obvious. And it says, Gemara, Hakub Meskinen, what are we talking about? The Ger Shema V'loi Tavo. That he, you have a convert who already had Bris Mila, but did not go into the mitzvah. Dom Rav Zeir, Am Rav Yochanan, Loilam Ein Ger, he's not considered a convert, he's not considered a Jew, Ashima V'yitbal. Until he both has Bris Mila and goes to the mitzvah. The Kamed Loi Tavo, and until he goes to the mitzvah, Nakli, he was considered as a non-Jew. We learned in the Mishnah, Nashim Avadim Ketanim Ein Mezamen Lehem. By women, slaves, or minors, don't join in the Zeman. Omer Rav Asi, Katan HaMutl Barisa, you have a child laying in the crib, an infant in the crib, Mezamen Lehem could be part of the Zeman. So right away the Gemara asks, Tatnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nashim Avadim Ketanim Ein Mezamen Lehem, but you can't have Noshim of Adam Uktanim be part of the Zeman. And it says the Gemara, Hudam Krabi Shuman Levi. Rav Ashi said his ruling according to Shuman Levi, Dam Shuman Levi, Abisha Amru, Katna Mutabarisa, Amazan Malov, that we can't have such a soul and joy child joining the Zeman, Aval Asara, Aval Oisna Isai Sniff Asara. We know, as we explained, that when you have 10 people, the Zeman, in the Zeman we mention Hashem's name, in that Zeman we can have a cotton join. Vam Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Tisha Ve'Evid. If you have 9 people and the 10th one is a Evid Kanani, Mizamnan, Mitzafim, they could join to have a minion. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Meisvei Rav Elazar, there was a story where Rav Elazar Shnichnas to Beis HaKnesses that came into Shul, V'loi Matza Asara, and he didn't find 10 people. V'shichur Avdai, so he went and he freed a slave, V'shlim L'Asara, and he made him part of the minion. So the question is, Shichur in, because he freed him, that's why the servant could join the minion. L'Oi Shichur, but had he not freed him, L'Oi, he can't join the minion. Doesn't this contradict what the Rishon Belevi just said, that a slave can be used as a tenth man in a minion? And says the Gemara Trey Yitzchuchu. It was in a case where they needed 2 people. So Shichur Hat, and he brought in 2 servants to the shul. And Shichur Hat, so he freed one, so he was a full-fledged Jew, so he was now the 9th man. The Nafat the Chad, and the 10th man was a slave. Asked the Gemara, "Behechi Aver Hachi? How could Rabbi Elazar do this?" Don Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol Meshachar Avdai. If somebody frees a slave, Ovi Basay, he transgresses a mitzvah say, because the pasuk says, 'Shnema Loilamem Tavaydi. You shall work with them forever. You're not allowed to free them." And so the Gemara was about mitzvah she'ani. Freeing a slave for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah is different. And here was a mitzvah that they should be able to daven with a minion, say Kedusha. Ask the Gemara, mitzvah bavah ve'erehi. You know, this mitzvah may be an aveira, and like Rashi explains, who says that the mitzvah of saying Kedusha supersedes the aveira of freeing a slave? And so the Gemara, mitzvah the Rabbim Shani. When you're dealing with a communal mitzvah, like saying Kedusha, it's different. And although the fulfillment of a personal mitzvah would not justify freeing a slave, the fulfillment of a mitzvah, the rabbim, does justify this. And most there's a machlok v'shoinim that says, Taisa says here, that even if it's mitzvah rabbanim, saying Kedusha is only mitzvah rabbanim, it still supersedes the mitzvah of Kedusha, which is it still supersedes the daraisa of Loyal Man Tavoida. Other Rishonim say that the reason he was allowed to free the slave is because when is a person not allowed to free a slave? When he just wants to show him a gesture of kindness. Here he wasn't doing it out of kindness, he was doing it because he needed a minion, and that's why he was allowed to free him. The Rosh says that we were not talking about Kedusha, because Kedusha is only a mitzvah d'rabbanon, and for a mitzvah d'rabbanon, one would not be allowed to supersede take away the mitzvah of the Lo'ilam Avem Tavoida. We're talking here in a case of Parsha Zohar, where the chiv to hear Parsha Zohar is the Raisa. So the chiv Parsha Zohar superseded the issue of Lo'ilam Avem Tavoida. V'amar Rav Shimon Levi, Lo'ayel Miyashka Adam Beis HaKnesses. Rav Shimon Levi said a person should always wake up to go to shul, Kedai Shiyiske V'yim Le'em Esar Rishonim. She should be one of the first 10 people. So feel Mei Boim Akhrav. Even if 100 people come after him, Kibos Olav Schakulim. He gets the reward of all of them. Ask the Gemara, Schakulim Sakadaitach. Why should he get everybody's reward? They also deserve reward. They came to Davin. Ra'ema Nois Lo'ay Schakinek Kulim. They give him a reward equal to the reward that all the 100 people get for being early in the shul. Rav Huna says Tishav Arim Stafin. 9 people and the Arim in which the Torah is kept can combine to complete a minyan. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman, for Arim Gabrahu, is the Arim considered a person? And says Gemara, Elam Rav Huna, Tisha Nira Kasara Mitzvahsin. If you have 9 people that look like 10 because it's a large group, they can complete a minyan. Amalei, and the Gemara explains, Kimichnafi, when they gather together, in such a situation, it's hard to tell if it's 9 or 10, that's when they could be considered a minyan. Vamrilei, and others say, Kimivdari, when they spread out and you can't see if it's 9 or 10, that's when you can join. We don't rely on this, you need a minyan. But it's interesting, the Gemara says, what does the Oren stand for? For Oren stands for the Echad Roya V'Eyanir, one who sees and cannot be seen, which means Hashem. That when we have 9 people, the Hashem represented by the Oren to join. Amrav Ami, Shnayim V'Shabbos Mitzvahsim. 2 men and the Shabbos can combine to complete the for a Zeman. Amrav Rav Nachman, the Shabbos Gavrahu, is Shabbos a person that he could join into Zimun? Elam Ravami, Shnei Tamid Chomim, Hamchadin Zezeb Alocha, they have 2 Tamid Chomim who sharpen each other with talking and learning with Stafin, they could join into the Minyan, into the Zimun. Machre Chizda, and Chizda motioned to indicate Kikoan Anover of Sheshis, like me and Rav Sheshis, Machre of Sheshis, Kanor Anover of Chizda, like me. And Rav Chizda, and the Mefarshim explain what is pshat with Tamid Chachamim being able to have a zimun just with 2 people. Because when 2 Tamid Chachamim sit together and they talk and learning, they develop the Divrei Torah, and the Divrei Torah is considered like their children. So it's considered like you have a third person here, the Divrei Torah, and now you have the proper quorum for zimun. But again, we don't pass them that way. To have a zimun, you have to have 3 people.